Now, this sort of misunderstanding is not peculiar to the West. In fact, we may say, it has spread to the West from the East. In the East, Buddhism has a very long history. And it's a very glorious history. It's a history of which we can be really proud, for which we can be really thankful. No blood shed. Only this afternoon I was looking into a book, a volume of documents about the history of Christianity in Western Europe. And it was my intention originally to buy that book, but after reading a few pages, I was so sickened, I decided I wouldn't buy it. It was such a dreadful record, the record of the church. But in the case of Buddhism, there's nothing like that. And that's something for which we can be very thankful indeed, of which we can be truly proud. We've got in Buddhism, in 2,500 years of Buddhism, great art, great religious literature, great systems of spiritual thought, and above all, great lives. But despite all that, despite those 2,500 very glorious years, it would be idle to pretend that Eastern Buddhism, especially nowadays, was perfect. In some areas, serious degeneration has taken place. And we can see an instance of this in the matter of the going for refuge. Originally, going for refuge represented a profound spiritual experience. You are moved to the very depths of your being. As we know when we read the scriptures and we read of people going for refuge to the Buddha himself in his own day. It's an experience of wholehearted commitment to the spiritual life, to the three jewels, wholehearted dedication, wholehearted surrender. But nowadays, the situation is rather different. And in many parts of the Buddhist East, unfortunately, the going for refuge, the whole concept, the whole experience, is greatly undervalued. It's not taken seriously at all. The refuges, which are the absolute basis of Buddhism, in many parts of the Buddhist world, are just something you recite in a dead language on festive occasions. Nothing more than that. And it's not very difficult to understand how this has come about. After all, in some parts of the East, the whole population considers itself Buddhist. Just as until recently, the whole population of this country considered itself Christian. But a Buddhist, surely, if a Buddhist means anything, if Buddhist means anything, it means one who goes for refuge. So if you consider the whole population Buddhist, then presumably the whole population has gone for refuge. The whole population is leading a vigorous spiritual life. But actually we don't find that. We find that signification of going for refuge is lost. And the Buddhist, in most parts of the East, the word Buddhist in most parts of the East doesn't really mean someone who goes for refuge, it's just a denominational label. Now, in the East, what happens if someone does want to commit himself to the spiritual life, to take Buddhism seriously? How do they do it? Inasmuch as the going for refuge in so many parts of the Buddhist world has become debased, they don't think in terms of going for refuge, they think in terms of becoming monks. Joining a monastery, putting on the yellow robe. So in some Buddhist countries, therefore, we have a rather curious situation. We have, first, a large lay population which is on the whole only nominally Buddhist, nominally going for refuge, and two, a comparatively small number of monks who really are Buddhists, who really do go for refuge. In the real sense. And what is the result of this? The result is that the going for refuge, which is, as I said, the basis of Buddhism, the most fundamental thing in Buddhism, is deprived of most of its significance, even deprived of all significance, and the spiritual life, the life of commitment, becomes identified in many areas with the monastic life. And of course, monastic life itself is only too often, I'm afraid, nominal. But we're not going into that now. So in the East, this sort of situation may be acceptable to some extent, because after all, it is due to definite historical causes, definite historical factors. But in the West, it is quite unacceptable. There's no reason whatever why we should perpetuate here in the West what is in fact a very serious distortion of Buddhism. But unfortunately, visiting Buddhist teachers only too often, visiting Buddhist teachers from the East only too often, don't understand this. And they don't speak to us in terms of going for refuge. In fact, they hardly ever mention it. I remember when I was in the East, and I was 20 years in the East, I don't think even once, until I came in contact with Tibetan Buddhism, I don't think that even once anybody, any monk, any teacher, spoke to me of the importance of going for refuge. Only when I started coming in contact with the Tibetans. So in this sort of way, most teachers who come from the East to this country, they don't mention going for refuge, even though that is the central act of the whole Buddhist life. If one shows any sign of genuine interest in Buddhism, they want to make you a monk. Sometimes on the spot. They want to put you into a yellow robe, or into a black robe, as the case may be, and pack you off to the East. Because, for them, ordination means monastic ordination. But as we've already seen, this is a great mistake. Ordination essentially means going for refuge. And going for refuge means ordination, commitment. Consequently,